basically one takes a normalization which makes this RKB equal to a determinant, as Sochnikov showed. Here I'm taking it such that this is a probability density, so integral is 1. Yeah, and then what happens? So there are like easy to check equations which connect. So a moment, a tensor moment like this is expressed in terms of moments of these correlation functions, and they are not. So this is not exactly equal to that. But if you make like in the limit when the size of the matrix tends to infinity, then in the limit they become equal to each other. Yeah, like to show. For instance, just to give an idea. So for k equals 1, they are exactly the same, and for k equals 2, for instance, so it is this term. Yeah, and then it's a linear combination between this moment of the correlation function and something else, but the other thing becomes small when the size of the matrix tends to infinity. So anyway, like this was like just for motivation. This is the kind of quantity that I want to look at, and the reason for that is that this quantity is easy. It's straightforward how to define the analog of this. When instead of one matrix, you have several matrices. Yeah. So instead of powers of the matrix, you consider words in those matrices. Yeah, and you consider expressions of this form. Yes. Yeah? So now each of these guys is a word in the S matrices we started with, and you take the trace in the appropriate metric space, and then the expectation. Yeah, and again, I'm going to assume that all these quantities exist, and in fact, I'm going to consider very very special situations. When this clearly exists, yeah. And let me in the case k equals 1, yes, but for several matrices, yeah. So in the case with Gaussian entries, I'd like to review a result of Thorbjørnsen, which is kind of the just a second. I keep forgetting. So this one goes here, and that one goes there. Yeah. So there is a result of Thorbjørnsen. About self-adjoint, usual Gaussian matrices with proper normalization, yeah, and Thorbjørnsen finds this explicit formula, which I'm gonna comment on, yeah. So first, let me make clear what when I say self-adjoint n-band matrices with independent n01 entries. So actually, this is the framework which I'm using for the whole talk. There are two kinds of things that I initially consider that I'd like to present. So these are the axes that appear in the transparency over there. So you start with a family of complex. So you can take matrices which have complex Gaussian random variables, yeah, such that the whole family of m times n times s entries is independent. And then there are two cases that I want to look at. Both are very like kind of classical things to look at. So one is when m is equal to n, and you take the real parts properly normalized. That's the situation appearing here in the result of Thorbjørnsen. Okay, and then the other situation is when you take m to be c times n, and you take so this is called the Wishart case, or at least it's a particular case of Wishart matrix. Yeah. While preparing the talk, I realized that I'm not going to reach the case B, but still I hope I can make some comments at the end about what's going on there, yeah. So let me explain here. So what's this is a formula of summation. You see, so this moment, this is a word in the S matrices, with Gaussian independent entries, yeah, and you take the expectation of the trace, and you get, you see, this is a polynomial in N, yeah, which, so you have a normalization, and let me explain what the case when the length p of the word is even is the one of interest. Then you have a summation over pairings of 1 to 3p. This is a condition saying that the word is compatible with the pairing. Yeah, so pairings, I will understand by pairing a permutation of p elements. So sp is the symmetric group on p symbols, which only has cycles of length 2. Yeah. So the word is a function from 1 to 3 p to 1 to 3s, and this is so this says that the pairing has to be compatible with the word. This composition has to be W again. And okay, so what appears here, gamma is the forward cycle in SP, and this number, so for any, so p times gamma, it's a product of two permutations in the group of permutations. Number is the number of orbits, yeah. So this is the formula of Torbjörnsson, or at least one possible statement of how he stated it. Yeah. And I should mention in the case, so in the case when S equal 1, when we would just have one matrix, this is kind of a weaker form of the Haller-Zagier equations, which were cited by Gamburd, because certainly the Haller-Zagier equations give more, because they really tell you what polynomial is here, yeah, rather than just giving you a sum of powers of n, but somehow it's related to that, yeah. And also, the point here is that this is also true with this extra compatibility condition. It's also true when you have an S-tuple of matrices. Okay, and now if we look at this, and we look at the highest term, yeah, the highest term. So as it turns out, this exponent here is always less or equal than 1 plus p over 2, yeah, which means that this expression actually has a limit when n tends to infinity, yeah, and the way to understand this, I think, is by looking at the Cayley graph of the symmetric group, because then it's just we just have a triangle inequality, which says why this holds. Yes, so you look at you take the symmetric group and a set of generators. So to make the Cayley graph, you need to specify what are the generators which you consider. You take the set of all transpositions. And then the formula for the distance in the Cayley graph turns out to be this one. So the distance between two permutations, sigma and tau, is p minus the number of orbits of sigma inverse tau. And then this inequality is just looking at the triangle formed by the identity, pairing pi, and the cycle, gamma. Yeah. And you look at the length, you look at these distances, and the triangle inequality is exactly telling you this. Yeah. Okay, as I'm saying, this means that here there is a limit when n tends to infinity. Now, of course, in order to know what that limit is, we need to know what is the for what kind of pi's do we have equality in the triangle inequality? Yeah. So in other words, we have a geodesic condition on pi. Like pi somehow has to sit on a geodesic between the identity and the cycle, yeah. And this was when can that happen? Philippe Jahn has worked and answered this. This equality, yes, in this triangle inequality here, yeah, happens precisely when pi is non-crossing, yeah. And here I'm making non-crossing in the usual sense, which is when you draw pi in a disk. I'm saying that because later on pi will be drawn in an annulus. Yeah, so which means that you put so this is a pairing of 10 elements, yes, and you put 10 points around the circle. I prefer the clockwise sense. You draw a chord for every cycle of pi, and these have to be non-crossing. Yes, so and this is a condition. So you declare that pi is non-crossing if whenever you pick two of the chords, then they don't cross. Yeah. Okay. So then with this, then I can say like. So we can say what's the large end limit in that formula of Torbjörnsson. Yeah. So it was the formula was here. Yeah. And so when you just take the dominant terms, this corresponds to the non-crossing pairings. Yeah. And which give a contribution of one. So that's all what remains in the limit. And so the word being fixed, yes, and the size of the matrix being sent to infinity, we get this expression. And I can't resist to point out that this is actually something about cumulants. Yeah, this limits that you get here tell you that in the large end limit, this matrix is x1, x2, xs form a semicircular system in the sense of Voiculescu, which is well known. Yeah. Anyway, this equality, like writing this moment as a sum of ones, this is exactly a relation between moments and cumulants. Yeah, and here are the non-crossing cumulants, which appear. Okay, and now the point which I'd like to make is that, one remark which I want to point out now is that actually this formula of Torbjörnsson really is a formula for K point. For K tensors, for K tensor moments, and you can go there are several ways of proving it, and in some of them it's straightforward to extend and see that actually so the formula is exactly the same, yeah. So you have that family of Gaussian self-adjoint Gaussian matrices. Instead of one word, you take several words, K words, P1, P2, PK are the lengths of the words, yeah. And you look at the expected trace of the the expectation of the trace of this tensor, yeah. And so the case of interest is when the total length p1 plus p2 plus pk is even, yeah. You have a summation over pairings of 1 to 3 up to the sum p1 plus p2 plus pk, and the pairing must be compatible with the juxtaposition of the k words w1 to wk, yeah. This is the normalization factor, and the only thing which changes is that instead of one cycle, as we had before, you have, so instead of that gamma, the forward cycle, you have gamma Tweedle, which is a product of K cycles, grouping, so first the first P1 numbers, then the next P2, and so forth. Yeah? Okay? So in this, actually what I'd like to do is look at the case K equals 2. So the formula looks like this. Yes. Yeah? So this is the. Yeah. You have a the expectation of the trace of a tensor of two words. Yeah. And so here.
The trace of the tensor product is the product of the traces.
It's normalized trace. It's the normalized trace on matrices. So these are random matrices over a space omega. You take them at a point omega, and you take the tensor. So you just normalize by n square instead of by n when you do the normalization of the trace. Okay, so this is how it looks in the case k equals 2, and then we can do the same exercise of triangle inequality in the Cayley graph. Yeah, and so then what's going to happen? So this is a triangle inequality. Involving gamma Tweedle, yes, where gamma Tweedle is now this product of two cycles, yeah. Okay, and this inequality telling that the inequality telling that there is a limit at infinity for this expression is again the triangle inequality, and you can derive like from looking at Bian's work, that so when can happen, when can this happen with equality? So what would this say? So this is a geodesic condition on pi, saying so pi has to lie now on a geodesic between the identity and the product of two cycles. And from Bian's work follows that actually this can only happen if pi is a disjoint union of two things. Pi 1, which is on the geodesic between the identity and the first cycle in gamma Tweedle, this cycle here, and then pi 2 lying on the geodesic between the identity and the other cycle. Yeah. So the equality here is described in this pretty trivial way. Yeah. And then actually this has a consequence. So in some sense, you obtain that this is not too interesting to look at because of this thing happening in the limit. This means that when after you do the large n limit, this will factor. This will factor because you just remain with pi's that split as a join of two. Yeah, and what you factor into is exactly the product of moments. So this tensor moment in the large n limit is the product of the moments, which is not too interesting, but also I think it would be pretty stupid to stop here because this doesn't really use at all or doesn't use too much of the precise formulas that we had before. Yeah, so I think it's more interesting to look at this other concept. I mean at the next consequence. These are asymptotically equal to each other, so then let's look at the subleading term, that is, take their difference and renormalize and take again limit to infinity. Yeah? And so it turns out that so when you take the difference of those two guys there, what you have to divide in order to get a finite limit is 1 over n squared. So it's n squared, not n. This follows from considerations on parities for permutations. Like that triangle inequality cannot fail by one unit, but only by two units. Yeah. And then what you get is that looking again at the precise formulas that were for these quantities before taking n to the limit, so you take the difference in those expressions, and then you see that actually what survives when n goes to infinity. So again, so these are the pairings. There is the compatibility condition with the words v and w. Yeah, and then what you get is so instead of a geodesic condition on pi, you get a condition saying that pi barely fails that triangle inequality, yeah, which means that if you compute the sum of the distances from the identity to pi and from pi to gamma Tweedle, this should be the direct distance plus two units. Yeah, which, as I'm saying, this is the minimal way of failing the triangle inequality here. Oh, sorry. Okay. And now here comes this is where the non the annular non crossing things come in, because actually if you study what it means to fail that so barely failing the geodesic condition, actually it turns out this is equivalent to asking that when you picture the pairing, so instead of picturing it in the disk, you picture it in an annulus, yeah, where you now have two circles, you put p points on the external circle and q points on the internal circle, and now the condition which you ask for the So in order to declare that pi is non-crossing, you look at configurations of three chords of pi. And you ask that any configuration of 3 is non-crossing. Yeah. And why 3 rather than 2? This is because so when you are in a, when you are in an annulus, yeah, like any two chords, actually you can always redirect one of them such that they don't cross. Like for instance here, it's in this example with Q equals 5, P equals 5 and Q equals 3. So these two like cross in the way I picture them, but you can always redirect one of them. Yeah. So instead of having it go this way, you move it, make it go the other on the other side of the annulus, and you get like this is an example of annular non-crossing pairing. Yeah. And I don't know, turns out that these have been considered not surprisingly, but anyway, so have been considered and counted in the work of Bish and Jones on Temper-Leylib algebras, and so they have these kind of pictures, not exactly in connection to random matrices, but anyway, so they did some way of counting and saying a number of things about them. Okay, so then this means so if I return to this consequence here, yeah, so the consequence, so here the condition, so here in this sum, so the conditions were that so there is always this compatibility condition, but then pi has to have at least one you could call it a bridging chord which connects the external circle with the internal one. But then there was this last condition saying that pi barely fails the geodesic condition. This one gets replaced by saying that pi, so this one now becomes saying that pi is annular non-crossing. Yeah. So actually here you get a summation. So instead of getting summation over non-crossing objects pairings here in a disk as you usually draw them, here it's a condition going in an annulus, yeah. And I think like to me this looks like an interesting fact, and even more interesting is what questions you ask come naturally, because so it's not clear this is what would be so same as the expected traces before doing this. This difference and taking the subleading coefficient, this you knew that for these things the large end limit is something living in a W star algebra, and so these kind of things correspond to moments of an element of a self-adjoint element in a von Neumann algebra. So it would be interesting to see seeing that there are this kind of summation formulas. Yeah, it would be interesting to go the other way. So now having this formula, figure out what would be the correspondent object in a W star probability space, and certainly could this then become a Kumulon formula in some sense? Yeah, like certainly it respects some of the the philosophy of the moment Kumulon formulas in the sense the relation between moments and Kumulons, they are generally of the following kind. So the moments are kind of complicated, and then the complexity of the formulas for the moments, they get divided. So some of it goes into the cumulants, but importantly, some other part of the complexity of the moments is going into the understanding of the combinatorial object which indexes the sum. Yeah, like here. You get a sum of ones, for instance. So this like philosophically could be something in the spirit of a Kumulon formula, but it's not clear at all what and for what would be this Kumulon. Yeah. Okay. And let me just end by making this remark that So there was the other. So this, like in the support that there is something to study here, comes the fact. So there was the other framework which I mentioned. The other kind of matrices which I mentioned. Yes, when. So you start with this M by N complex matrices, and so you consider the Y's defined like this, yeah, and what happens is you can proceed with a similar plan in that case, and. It's similar formulas, but they are in some sense more satisfying in the following respects. That one is that instead of having only pairings, you have general partitions, or maybe I think rather in that framework, it's better to talk about the concept of an annular non-crossing per permutation. And secondly, the summations which you obtained, which you get here, are not only sums of ones, but you really get some terms, typically powers of C. This parameter, yeah. And I had the impression, I don't know how am I with the time.
You have 1 minute, but you need more.
I have 1 minute. Okay. So here is, for instance, how would be the start. Yeah. So if you wanted to write the tensor moment of order 2, yeah. This is what you get. So this is the analog of that formula. So. For Wishart matrices, yeah, and here you see, here you see, like because M is Cn, yeah. So then here you get C to the number of orbits of tau times, and then you get N to the sum number of orbits of tau plus number of orbits. Okay, let me write this here again. So you get C to the number of orbits of tau times n to the sum of this exponent and that exponent. Yeah, and this is exactly this is exactly the quantity which appears in that triangle inequality in the Cayley graph of the symmetric group. So this is precisely what appears when you compute the distance from the identity to tau. And from tau to gamma twiddle. So it's going to be again that geodesic condition again, only that now tau, instead of being a pairing, is a general permutation in the symmetric group on P plus Q symbols. And then again, the same game. So the work of Bian describes the taus which satisfy the geodesic condition. Yeah, you take them away, divide, renormalize, and then you see that in the next bunch of taus to consider, it's exactly those that you can represent in a non-crossing way in an annulus. Yeah. So that's the end. The k-point functions, they are connected, as I was saying. So there are some algebraic formulas that you could transfer these formulas. You could transfer them into formulas for k-point functions, because there are really some algebraic equations which connect them. So I presume that the same equations you could write them plainly in terms of k-point like moments of k-point functions.
What you did, you essentially had a transparency there. You had
the
expression for second
human. That was the one where I was asking what that is.
And second question: that formula, that is not here, but maybe
this one.
And so, of course, you have some
Just a
look at the nice expression for this one. The second term here, which is exactly here, you were able to interpret in terms of annals non-crossing partitions, right?
Yes, yes. I don't know, like you could speculate that you have partitions that can be drawn in a non-crossing way in surfaces with more holes, but I couldn't say that for sure, like, yeah, but that would be a natural thing to think about, that then you'd have a torus like a disk with two holes, with three holes, so on.
The next stop will be...